Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome one and all to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. And Jim, very good news for conservatives coming out from the U.S. Census today, which is kind of surprising in the fact that a lot of people thought that once Obama took this in-house and took it away from the Commerce Department, that who knows what we'll get here. But what it looks like we'll get is a lot of electoral votes shifting towards Republican states, states that have leaned Republicans. And given that fact and Republican state legislatures coming on board next year with the huge gains in the midterm elections, we could see even larger Republican numbers in both the House and Senate. Plus, whoever the Republican nominee is, at least getting a few more electoral votes and hopefully a lot more than John McCain did 2 years ago.
We saw this back roughly one decade ago where George W. Bush didn't win a significantly different map in 2004 than he did in the year 2000. He lost New Hampshire from 2000-2004, picked up Iowa and New Mexico. But even if he had won the precise same states that he had won 4 years earlier, he would have gotten seven more electoral votes because of the shift of population. So you just kind of see how these can end up having a pretty significant impact on presidential races. There are three points. This is still our very much our good martini. Three cautionary notes I want to toss in about this. And, you know, generally speaking, Republicans do have good reason to feel good about the population shifts and the reapportionment. The first is people don't stay the way they're supposed to. A lot of states were gerrymandered or redistricted in favor of one party or another at the beginning of the decade. And by the end of the decade, things are looking very differently. You can look at this in the state of Texas. You can look at this in the state of Illinois. Over the course of a decade, people move. Their political views change. Sometimes you see large-scale exoduses and migration of people spurred by people moving from Louisiana to Texas after Katrina. So keep in mind that this is by no means – everything in politics is temporary. And so it's one of those things where this is not something that's necessarily going to be remaining a major political factor 5 years down the road, 6 years down the road, 7 years down the road. Second thought is – once you end up with the redistricting, you end up with that extra seat in your state, and then your Republicans get a chance to control it. I've heard some Republican strategists say they actually think the partisan gains are not going to be as big as some Republicans are hoping because of desire to make safe seats even safer and to make competitive seats not as competitive. So there's always a chance that the Republican advantage that we've seen from this midterm election is going to get diluted as people start drawing their lines and nervous incumbents start taking a bit more of a cushion than they might ordinarily need. So there's those two factors. And kind of the third one is just recognizing that as people move, they tend to sometimes bring their old views with them. And you talk to people in Colorado, you talk to people in a whole bunch of Western states, they'll talk about Californication. In which people, you know, or you talk to people in New Hampshire about transplants from Massachusetts who generally wanted to get away from, you know, generally liberal government and liberal way of living in one state, moving to another state, which is different, but then voting the exact same policies in that sure. Same politicians that drove them crazy in their old state. So people may move in this population shifts that they're going to Republican states, but it's possible in the process they make those states less Republican. So three little kind of mitigating factors, no, by no means enough a reason for Republicans to panic over any of this, just something to keep in mind that you shouldn't count any of your reapportionment chickens before they hatch into new districts.
That's certainly true. And, of course, if you look at the 2008 results, you got to actually win a lot of states you didn't win in 2008. A few different seats switching states isn't going to make a huge difference when you almost lose 2-1, if not worse than that. I can't remember the exact numbers. But speaking of numbers going in the perhaps the wrong direction, this would be martini number two. Jim, it's like watching a slow train wreck here as on the Senate floor as one Republican after another seems to be resigned to signing on to the START treaty and what seemed like a very high mountain to climb, especially when rejecting all the Republican amendments on this. It looks like the Democrats will get to 67 now. And just in the past few hours, we've seen Bob Corker, Lamar Alexander, and now Johnny Isaacson all say they're going to support this thing. It's pretty clear that's where the trend's going. And while the Democrats were shut down on a number of huge issues in this lame duck session, namely the omnibus bill and the DREAM Act, this is another big win for the president as well.
It is, and I think probably most surprising was the boss man, Rich Lowry, pointing out that they may get up to 75, quoting a Senate Republican source. I think there we saw, you know, two competing arguments put forth on this. The first was from what we can call the old school national security Republicans, the former secretaries of state, the Brent Scowcross of the world, President George H.W. Bush coming out and saying this is necessary for national security. Then you saw, you know, some objections from Senate Republicans observing on two kind of themes. The first was, look, even if this isn't explicit, the Russians are going to interpret this as a restriction on missile defense. This is going to gum up our ability to protect ourselves, and this is not something we want to enter into. We want to have any confusion or any vague language about this. And then the second one is whether or not this should be done in a lame duck session. In fact, this is very much what McConnell was emphasizing, what I think a lot of Republicans were saying is like, look, put aside the merits of the bill. Should we be doing this by a whole bunch of people who've just been rejected by the American people when a whole bunch of new folks are going to come in, you know, just a couple of days? I guess in the end that has been found wanting. I think it's a little frustrating for those of us on the outside, but I think we're seeing a bit of a bandwagon effect, and we're seeing a whole bunch of people who feel like, well, if this is going to pass, do you want to be willing to say I worked with the president and I was bipartisan, or do you want to say, no, I held out because of belief that this shouldn't be handled by a lame duck and or concern that the Russians will interpret this differently than we do? It's frustrating, and I guess we shouldn't be surprised to see a certain number. You know, very few of the figures who've jumped on board are really shocking, i.e., you know, Scott Brown or anything like that.
Oh, right.
But in the end, I think the momentum shift in these last day or two is a little bit surprising, and I think a bit ominous for Republicans who have felt like they'd had a bunch of big wins lately.
Yeah, it seems like it's all over but the shouting, and since they just did the continuing resolution, hopefully that's the end of the bleeding here in the lame duck session. We'll finally let these people who actually got elected do their jobs here in the next couple of weeks. Jim, just yesterday in our bizarre third martini, we talked about how the terminal at Newark Airport was briefly shut down because a computer monitor emitted a little bit of radiation as it went through checked baggage. If that didn't instill a lot of confidence in our airline security system, I'm sure this will. Here's Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano.
You know, what I say to the American people is that we are, and thousands of people are working 24/7, 364 days a year to keep the American people safe.
24/7, 364. I'm really hoping that the one day that they're not trying to keep us safe has already passed on the calendar. But as one of the folks said on cable news this morning, does that mean they're going to take Christmas off like they did last year?
Ah, there you go. I heard that, and Greg, my first reaction is, man, that means we are screwed in a leap year. That means 2 days a year they get a chance to shut
up. That's right.
I mean, we shouldn't be surprised by, you know, anything coming from Janet, the system works, Napolitano. It's, you know, almost a Keynesian gaffe, the idea of when you misspeak but you accidentally speak the truth. Because by that standard, you know, Homeland Security did a decent job for much of the year last year, except for Christmas. And by that standard, you could probably argue that a lot of our security apparatuses worked pretty good 364 days in the year 2001. It was just one really terrible day. So you know, it brings to mind that expression that, you know, the good guys and we in a free society have to get it right every time. The terrorists just have to succeed once. In the end, just kind of something we can kind of laugh and snicker and roll our eyes about. But one more sign that just Janet Napolitano offers absolutely nothing reassuring from her position. And it just, you know, I can't believe we find ourselves yearning for the reassuring stable days of Tom Ridge and the color-coded system. Moving from burnt sienna to ochre or whatever it was on the Crayola system.
Yeah, not encouraging in the least. Jim, well, it is still a few more days before I have to subject myself to the system, so hopefully they'll get everything sorted out within the next few days. I can't say I'm optimistic, but...
Greg, if you end up feeling that heavy hand, a good way of putting it is to think of it as it's just not your day.
Again, very, very comforting. Jim, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
See you, Greg.
Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Join us Wednesday for the next Three Martini Lunch.